Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming to worship this morning. It's a special Sunday for us because we're going to honor Denise as our retiring, I guess, preschool director, moving on to other things, but almost 15 years of service, the preschool. I had a parent ask me, I said, this is a great preschool. He says, aren't all preschools great? I said, no, this is a really great preschool. And then I was trying to think, how should I describe the preschool? And I would tell you that what makes this preschool special is the cooperation of the children and the unity that they have with joy. I mean, it's really neat to see when all these children can come together, be so together, so conscious of caring for one another, and at the same time having so much fun. So that's the spirit of our preschool, and so I asked Denise to come and stand forward here, and we're going to, these are your flowers for tonight. Congratulations. But let's pray for Denise.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for Denise and all she offered our preschool. We thank you for her years of service and for the children that she's impacted. So much so that even now one of our aides was a preschool graduate. And so we thank you, Lord, that things have come full circle. And we ask that you'll bless her with abundance and that you'll continue to bless many people through her. And we thank you for all the children that have been impacted by her leadership, by her love, by her dedication. And we ask, Lord, that you'll just continue to do great things for our preschool, because the foundation that has been laid is one that will last literally for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, save us from the threatening dangers of sin, and enlighten our walk in the way of your salvation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, children, last week I taught you a song, and actually we're going to do it again because the other verses take us through what this Sunday is all about, which is Jesus' second coming. And somebody told me that the actions were hard, and so we're going to go really slow so you can get them. And then the verses go, he died on the cross, and then to you, he rose from the dead. You grab your elbow and you go like this, and like the sun rising, he rose again on Easter morn. And then today is about Jesus' second coming, and he's coming again to take us home. Like, yippee-yay-ki-yay. Okay? Okay, so stand up. Put your finger out and your thumb up like this, and go like this. I'll go really slow. I'm in love with the King. Alleluia. I'm in love with the King. Oh, praise Him. I'm in love with the King. Alleluia. I'm in love with the King. He died for me on Calvary. I'm in love with the King. Oh, praise Him. Died for me on Calvary. I'm in love with the King. I'm in love with the King. Alleluia. I'm in love with the King. Oh, praise Him. I'm in love with the King. Alleluia. I'm in love with the King. Let's go back. All right, we're going to do the coming again to take me home. And then we'll do the ch-ch-ch. He's coming again to take me home. I'm in love with the King. Oh, praise Him. He's coming again to take me home. I'm in love with the King. I'm in love with the King. Alleluia. I'm in love with the King. Oh, praise Him. I'm in love with the King. Alleluia. I'm in love with the King. Good job. And the grants are wonderful. Good job. Okay, pray this prayer. I'll pray the words and you pray them back. Dear Jesus, we thank You for being our King and promising to come back to take us all home to Your heavenly kingdom. Amen. Okay, you can go to choir practice or Sunday school, whichever works out best for you. Little children, all little children of the world.
Thank You.
So black and white, He was precious in His sight.
Jesus was a little children of the world.
A reading from Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountains of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us His ways, and that we may walk in His paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 122 responsively. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Now our feet are standing within Your gates, O Jerusalem.
Jerusalem is built as a city that is at unity with itself.
To which the tribes of the Lord, the assembly of Israel, to praise the name of the Lord.
For there are the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love You.
Peace be within Your walls and quietness within Your towers.
For the sake of my kindred and companions, I pray for Your prosperity.
Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek to do You good.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Romans. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in this day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "About that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in a field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would have not let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
You
may be seated. Last week's lesson was Christ the King Sunday, and it was Luke's version of Jesus being crucified. And during that time, we talked about how important it was for Jesus to give a really living example of what it means to love your enemies. Then we fast forward today, and we're in a new book, Matthew. So this is the year of Matthew. And in Matthew, we talk about Jesus coming back again. So this whole chapter is about that. It's not just these verses that we have for today, but the whole chapter. So Jesus is crucified. He dies. He's buried. 3 days later, he rises from the dead. Then he appears to his disciples and his resurrected presence. He does so for 40 days. And then there's the ascension. And the ascension is where Jesus goes up into heaven in a cloud to go to establish his rightful place at the throne of God. Until the time comes when he would come back again, yippee-yi-yay, to take us all home again. And that's a wonderful time for us, one that we should in fact be looking forward to, because then all the sufferings of this world will be extinguished. And the reign of God will be established. And it's an important time. But what we find in our lesson is that we don't know that time. In fact, nobody knows. And in fact, Jesus will come, as they say, as a thief in the night, where we just have no idea. Jesus says he doesn't even know when the end will come. Only God knows. And so, as I was looking at the whole chapter, I was taken by verses 30 and 31. And verses 30 and 31 say that Jesus, as the Son of Man, will come in the clouds with great power and great glory, and that God will call his angels and with the trumpet sound, and they will gather together the elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. It's just beautiful imagery, just such beautiful imagery of God coming and establishing his kingdom. Angels are being a part of it. God's elect are going to be all brought together again. And it's just a beautiful imagery to me. Now, but the whole of that imagery depends on one thing, and that is, who are the elect? And that's what I wanted to preach on today. So last week, we talked about Jesus offering forgiveness on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think the primary characteristic of those elect are they are forgiven. And it's a forgiveness Jesus offers generously to anyone. And you can see Jesus offers it generously by what he said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There is no repentance there. None of those people around the cross were at all sorry for what they were doing to Jesus. But Jesus offers forgiveness on the basis of ignorance. They don't know what they're doing. And I believe all of us sin regarding our own sin in its repercussions, we're always ignorant of it. Because I think every single sin we commit is a way for death to take its toll in our lives and the lives of others. So we continue to offer, as Jesus offered, forgiveness. But I wanted to move on from that thought and tell you that repentance is still important. It's not important for the person who gives forgiveness. I don't think you need to demand repentance for someone who is being offered forgiveness. But I think to receive forgiveness, you must be repentant. Because repentance means that there's something wrong that you've done, and you're open to receiving the forgiveness that Jesus offers. And God can't force his forgiveness on you. That would be anti-love, right? Anything that we do to another person by force is not loving. And so Jesus offers loving forgiveness regardless of repentance. But repentance opens us up to receive that forgiveness. And that becomes important. Now, I also think that when we receive forgiveness, and we are repentant, it would be, if somebody was not repentant and they were forgiven in spite of that, they'd be irritated. Can you imagine going up to somebody and saying, "I forgive you," when they don't think they've done anything wrong? It's disgusting to us. And so it requires that we are repentant to receive the forgiveness that is offered, both from Jesus and from one another. The second quality that I think are the elect are that they know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Jesus is someone who offers what only God can offer. And I think what sets Christianity apart from all other religions is that Christianity is about a Savior. The other religions are about giving good advice as to how to live your life. And we feel that we can't live our lives just because somebody tells us to, that the law won't do the job, that we need, in fact, someone in our lives, our Lord and Savior, in order to accomplish what Jesus wants of us and we can't do on our own power or strength. Now, on the cross, that is made clear, especially with the conversation between Jesus and the criminals. So the first criminal is kind of mocking Jesus. "If you are the Messiah, save yourself and us." But the other one rebukes him, and the repentant criminal. And he says, "Don't you have any respect for God? We are receiving the just requirement of our own wrongdoings." In other words, he's repentant. He's recognizing his wrong. And then he says to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's acknowledging that Jesus is King, Lord, Savior, without having to know that that's going to happen in this life. It's something that's going to happen in the life to come. And then that's where Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And I also pointed out that when Jesus teaches and acts and is part of his ministry in this world, 99.9% of what he's all about is in this world today. But now, for the first time, because of this penitent thief on the cross, there's a sliver of light into the world to come. And that sliver of light will become stronger and more powerful and more pervasive as that light penetrates throughout the whole world. And that's what we are asked to be, light in the world. Then finally, I think the other quality of being a part of the elect is that we are instruments of God's Holy Spirit. That it is God's Spirit indwelling in us that gives us the power and the courage and even the knowledge of how to love our neighbor as ourselves and to care for the poor, the sick, the hurting, those who are being unjustly hurt in our society, to speak up for those who are no one can speak for. All that is a product of the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit teaches us and empowers us to do that work. Today, at the end of the worship service, I asked, my first song that I've asked to sing at worship service is Blowin' in the Wind by Bob Dylan. And Blowin' in the Wind, to me, is a prophetic song. And it's a prophetic song about the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me explain. The last verse is my favorite verse. How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? How many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? How many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. It's blowing in the wind. It's no coincidence that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was received by the disciples, it was received as a rush of a mighty wind. And when you first think of that song, when I first thought of the song, Blowing in the Wind, I thought, that's kind of lame. The answer is blowing in the wind. It's like, it's not really clear. You can't see it. It doesn't necessarily have any power. But exactly the opposite is true. And that is that the answer, blowing in the wind, is the answer of God's Holy Spirit. That's why in that focus verse that I showed to you today, or I spoke to you today, about God's elect, God's elect will be gathered together from the four winds. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will bring about the work of God in this world. We can't do it on our own. So we ask God to empower us by His Spirit so that Spirit can teach us, empower us, give us wisdom to care for those who need to be cared for. Because that's the role that God wants us to have. Instruments of His will by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we are God's elect. We are forgiven. We offer forgiveness. We know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we also know that the Holy Spirit will indwell us so that we can accomplish God's purposes in the world. What a great privilege it is to be a part of God's kingdom. Amen.